ocean. All I know is the world looks beautiful. The world looks so damn beautiful. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Am I Being Unreasonable? A podcast where I ask Kells, am I being unreasonable?
Simon is very rarely unreasonable. But you know who is often unreasonable? Everyone on Mumsnet. Every damn one of them.
Because that's the actual format. We look at Mumsnet and decide if people on there are being unreasonable.
Very good. Shall we begin with a speed round? Just the thread titles, no context. Am I being unreasonable? Presents for 40th birthday.
No.
Am I being unreasonable? A man just shouted at me in the street.
Are they being... No.
Am I being unreasonable to ask for your help to find a bra?
Yes.
Am I being unreasonable to think this child shouldn't be in my son's class?
No.
Am I being unreasonable? Talk to me about kitchens.
Yes.
Am I being unreasonable to find ordering in Subway stressful?
No. There's that whole campaign built on that man who can't decide if he wants a meatball marinara or not.
That is a really bad ad campaign.
Remember? Meatball no. Beef and cheese. It's the same thing, pal. A meatball marinara is just beef, cheese and tomato sauce.
Maybe he doesn't want any tomatoes that day.
Same thing.
Yeah, it is weird to run an ad campaign based on the idea that people just go there out of habit and then panic buy.
I always get the meatball marinara on the Italian herbs and cheese.
Okay, let's do a thread. Am I being unreasonable? To be called lucky, an insult.
That doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'll let you get into the actual text of the post.
Which may or may not make sense. Am I being unreasonable? To be called lucky, an insult. I think I'm overthinking this too much, but just wondered what others thought. Do you find the word lucky insulting? As in, you don't deserve what you have. Two examples. A man at my work used to tell me my DH was lucky to have me. I didn't like it, as I felt he was saying DH was not good enough for me. This man has since been sacked, by the way. Nothing to do with me. He was a sleaze with a lot of women. Also, recently, someone who clearly wants a baby told me how lucky I was to have my baby. Again, it kind of felt like she was saying I didn't deserve my baby somehow. Am I being unreasonable to find the word luck insulting? No, this is a bit of a non-issue.
Wow, they really turned it around there at the end. There's a lot of background characters and dangling plot threads in this single paragraph.
That's what I like about these posts.
It feels a bit unfinished.
Yeah.
It feels a bit like the structure of I went to see The Shape of Water this week, which has a lot of different characters on these different threads, and they don't really come together.
Right. Shall we pick each thread apart and we'll go from there?
In The Shape of Water or this?
In the post.
Okay. My efforts to turn this into a film review podcast have failed again.
Yes. I mean, we've got the software and time on our hands. We'll just make a second podcast. Am I overthinking this a bit too much? Just wondered what others thought. Is that fine or is that a dangling thread?
It's a bit dangling because they don't answer the question. I think they are overthinking it.
Okay.
But overthinking is what we do here, so it's fine.
Do you find the word lucky insulting? This single sentence is the only bit
that's the actual
that
question, yes?
Yes.
That should have been the thread title.
Yeah.
But they had to phrase it in the form of are you being unreasonable X.
Yeah.
Because that's the format on Mumsnet.
But this would still have worked. If she had formatted it, am I being unreasonable to find the word lucky insulting, it would have worked. Next sentence, as in, you don't deserve what you have.
It's not always what lucky means.
No, it's not. Okay, this is where we start getting into all of the extraneous characters. Two examples. A man at my work used to tell me my DH was lucky to have me. I didn't like it, as I felt he was saying DH was not good enough for me. The man has since been sacked, by the way. Nothing to do with me. He was a sleaze with a lot of women.
Yeah, this is a dangling plot thread. Like, this man was a sleaze to a lot of women in the office and was sacked because of it, is the implication?
Yeah. It also suggests that the way that he said, oh, your DH is lucky to have you,
is him acting as a sleaze.
Yes.
Is him being sleazy.
Yes.
Which, it's not the most sleazy.
It's not. I mean, it's not great.
These are not Weinstein levels of sleaze.
No, that's very true. It isn't great, but I don't think that if he's using that as a chat-up line, he's saying that her husband isn't good enough for her. I think he's trying to say, like, hey.
You're really nice.
Yeah, you're a bit of a catch.
Your husband's lucky.
Yeah. I mean, he's using it as a compliment, albeit it's not a compliment, it's creepy. Don't say that to someone that you work with. No. But I think probably in his mind it was a compliment.
Hey, your husband's lucky to have you.
Yeah.
Touch my dick.
Yeah, you see, that I could see how
that
you would end up getting sacked.
Yeah. At which point did I step over the line?
I mean, people in the podcast won't know this, but you said hey and did a weird sleazy point.
So that was it.
So,
it was
at
the
that
point.
Point, it was the pointing.
Getting to the point where you can't even point at women.
Well, quite. Okay, so that's one dangling thread.
Yeah.
Have we got anything we want to say about that one?
I don't think that person was using lucky as an insult.
No. No, as we've just said, they clearly thought it was...
I mean, do you get a romantic partner on merit?
Yeah, it's a pure meritocracy.
I think it's...
detailed qualitative and quantitative methods before settling on you.
That's nice.
You came out top. Because it is a pure meritocracy, just like everything else.
You are very keen on isolating variables.
I say it every episode.
It is lucky, right?
It is.
Lucky. Everything's lucky. No one deserves anything.
Well, no, quite. Then the next one. Also, recently someone who clearly wants a baby told me I was lucky to have my baby. Again, it felt like she was saying I didn't deserve my baby somehow. The idea that someone does or does not deserve a baby is such a twisted way of looking at the world. Like,
yeah,
that is dystopian.
This is not a meritocracy. You don't deserve... A baby happens, whether you deserve it or not. There's lots of terrible people who have babies.
It's true. There are lots of good teenagers who have babies who probably didn't want them there and then.
Yeah, and terrible billionaires who have babies.
Yeah. So then she gets to the point, am I being unreasonable to find the word lucky insulting? I know this is a bit of a non-issue.
Yes, it is a non-issue.
And is she being unreasonable to find the word lucky insulting?
Yeah, I think so. Because it is lucky. It's all lucky. The universe is governed by chance, and we're just floating in an endless void.
Well, no, that's not what people on the thread think. We've got someone here who may or may not be an avid follower of Ayn Rand. It isn't meant as an insult, but can minimise your achievements. I resent being called lucky for things I have and do. I came from nothing, and I worked for everything. There is no luck in that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, someone said, it doesn't minimise your effort or achievement to recognise that other people work hard but don't succeed.
Yeah.
Someone else said, I think it's a bit arrogant to think that you deserve every good thing that happens to you.
Exactly. You haven't earned everything. If you happen to be born in... This is an English-speaking forum. If they happen to be born in an English-speaking country, that in itself is lucky because of the...
They worked hard for that.
...dominance of colonial ancestry that led to English being a lingua franca for most of the world.
Yeah. Every single A-list celebrity, movie star and rock star is lucky. They are not more talented or special than the thousands of others trying to achieve the same dream. They just got lucky being in the right place, right time, and knowing the right people. And the smart ones don't forget that. Well, okay, that's a fair enough point, but that seems to completely ignore the point. That what about the thousands of people that didn't have access to a decent education or contacts in anything at all growing up who now can't do whatever they want to do with their lives just because maybe their dreams aren't being an actor or a rock star?
Yeah.
Is that somehow, well, that's their fault because it's a pure meritocracy, except in show business where it's not a pure meritocracy, that's all about luck. We'll end on this one. Yes, the function of your reproductive system is luck. A good motto for life there, one for you to keep in mind.
I'm not sure. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Am I being unreasonable to be irritated by the rules around adult/child library books? This is quite a long post, so bear with me. In our library, any book not expressly a children's book cannot be borrowed by a child. However, any art book with actual artists or pictures in is adult. Local history books are adult. Music books, maps. Basically anything not bought for cartoon/curriculum support, and whoever is buying certainly aims at the younger end of the child readers. Is it really unbelievable an 18-year-old wants to read some of the adult books? Totally fine if I need to give permission, they charge adult fines, though as most of the books are generally around the same price. Weird aside, my daughter has been barred from getting a book on an artist she's studying. I then went to say I'd give permission. Nope. The book is not dissimilar from what you'd find in most school libraries. Being out without a card or sufficient ID, I couldn't get it out either. What is the logic behind adult/children books being divided and able older children being confined to kids' books? Schools don't worry if a book is appropriate but not a kid's book. The library rules actually mean that Year 6 can't get books out of the library they read at school. Able group, classics. By GCSE, many books in the kids' study area are totally babyish. I understand maybe some books require adult guidance, but surely this is solved with parental permission. I remember as a child having a green stamp on my ticket to show that my parents allowed me to borrow any book.
Ooh, must be nice to get a green stamp.
It's pretty lucky.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah, that's like Willy Wonka, I believe. If you get a green stamp in your ticket, you can go into the back area where the library Oompa Loompas work, classifying the books as adult or children.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a little tip for you.
Yeah, Simon is a real-life librarian, so that's definitely going to be a true fact and not something that he's just made up.
I am like the Willy Wonka of librarianship, that's what they call me. Dangerously predatory towards children.
Okay. What about this woman, though? Let's have a look at what she has to say. I like it that she says, anything not expressly for a child can't be borrowed by a child. And then she goes on to say, however, as if she's going to contradict herself, but what she actually does is just back up what isn't a children's book. She just lists loads of type of book.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Are the librarians working on the desk asking for ID? Like when you buy alcohol at the shop?
Well, I imagine it's because children's library cards are configured differently so that they don't get fines.
I understand.
I assume that that's what it is.
Libraries in fiction tend to have a restricted section, don't they?
Are you thinking about Game of Thrones?
I'm thinking about Game of Thrones and Harry Potter.
Don't talk to me about Harry Potter, ever.
There's a restricted section in the Hogwarts Library, and as you just said in Game of Thrones, there's a restricted section in the Old Town Library, where the maesters get trained. So, I think books should be in the restricted section and chained to the shelves to prevent the public from getting their naughty fingers on them.
We don't want too many people having too much knowledge.
No, that way madness lies.
Exactly.
We need to restrict it. That's what these librarians are doing, keeping the children from getting too uppity.
I see.
Imagine if all children were able to read, I don't know, The Great Gatsby by age 10. That way leads dystopia.
Does it? Why?
Just a lot of frivolous, roaring 20s children in flapper dresses.
I think that would make the world a much better place. It would be like Bugsy Malone, except it would, more parties and melancholy and ennui.
I think what we've written here is the prequel to Bugsy Malone, where we learn how this child-led society came into being, obsessed with the roaring 20s.
Oh, I really want to make that. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but also I've never heard of the notion of a parent going down to a library and saying, I give my express permission that little Timothy may read any book. And then little Timothy getting a little green stamp. I've never heard of this as a practice.
Little Timothy rubs his little hands together and heads straight for the Kama Sutra.
Timothy, no!
Green stamp. Nothing, librarians can't touch him. Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, and he's dressed like a rich man from the 20s, so they're confused anyway.
He's reading The Great Gatsby.
I don't really get what the am I being unreasonable is here. Let me go back. Oh, I think she's just saying, am I being unreasonable to think this is a stupid policy? Is she being unreasonable to think it's a stupid policy?
No, it's a stupid policy.
Do you want to hear what some people on the thread have said? Because some of these are quite good. My library has a lot of straight porn, 50 Shades spin-offs, unsuitable for children.
Now, do they mean straight porn, as in heterosexual porn, or straight up porn, the stuff that is more or less porn?
Oh, I thought it meant like mainstream normalised porn.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's what I meant with the latter.
Okay.
But they do not mean the absence of gay porn.
I mean, libraries should be inclusive, guys. Come on. An important public service. Why are they 50 Shades spin-offs? Why doesn't this library carry the real 50 Shades books? It's just got these shabby knock-offs.
Yeah, and don't knock it. Like, public libraries are in a bad state in the UK. But they'd be in a worse state if it wasn't for Mills and Boon. Because Mills and Boon books are incredibly popular among a certain demographic who always go to the library. Like, I've worked in public libraries where you literally take whole shelves of Mills and Boone and people take them out.
Sorry, I just like that you said a certain demographic that always goes to the library, as if you're trying to use this as a veiled way of saying little old dears.
I mean little old dears. I love their Mills and Boone.
She's part of the demographic who often use the library. You know what I'm saying?
Smutty elderly women.
Another one from here. I broke our library's card system one summer by taking books out in the morning and returning them in the afternoon.
Jesus.
All right, show off.
This is why I need to set up a library systems consultant so to fix this kind of nonsense with systems.
I started reading adult crime fiction at age 8. I'd read all the kids' teenager books. This is Matilda. Hey, Matilda, you're a cutie pie. Ran out of books by age 8. Quite apart from the obvious point that this is a system not fit for purpose, so get your local authority's public accounts committee onto that via your local councillor. I suspect it's also, charitably, a load of bollocks.
Yeah, I'm sure the local authority's public accounts committee will get right on that. Priority one.
Yeah, it's little like... Timmy can't read a fake version of 50 Shades of Grey. Little Arabella can't get out this art book that's just loads of pictures of tits.
He wants to look at dicks. Artistic dicks.
Then some librarians have come along and just said, I'm not sure about what you're telling me here.
Librarians always want to get involved.
Can you see that it's the local council who governs how much a library has for staffing and that determines how often it can be open?
Wow, we get way off topic further down this thread.
Yeah, now a lot of people are... I can't find it now, but when I was browsing this before, someone basically said, well, when I hear about things like this, I'm glad libraries are being defunded. Like, what? What, because a girl can't get an art book out at one library? You think that we should have no libraries? Well, then no one can get an art book out.
It's censorship.
It's garbage. Let's move on. Was the policy unreasonable?
Yeah.
Was the woman unreasonable for making loads of points about able children, clearly trying to show off that she was an able child?
Yeah, a little bit.
Bragging about green stamps. Am I being unreasonable to abandon my friend in her deepest hour of need?
I'm forming an opinion, but I'll try and suppress it.
I formed an opinion when I read the title, but let's go through the post, because opinions change. To cut the story short, we were both academics when young. We both became stay-at-home mums when our children were born. We both split from our exes when our children were young. And we both found it very difficult to get back to our previous careers. After the split, and due to low income, we both ended up in receipt of tax credits. I saw tax credits as something I should move on from as quickly as I could, just a bit of help to get back on my feet while I was raising a child alone with a low income. I've worked and continue to work very hard, very often long hours, to try and stop this dependence on tax credits. She saw tax credits as her right, chose to work from home in sporadic jobs and rely on tax credits, child maintenance and housing benefit fully as her most important regular income. Over the years, she's been belittling the admin jobs I have taken, saying she wouldn't lower herself to do such kind of shit and bad paid jobs. But now, with her children over 18, her tax credits, child maintenance and other benefits have come to an end. Naturally, she's struggling. She feels the state took advantage of her by using her while she was a mother and discarding her as dirt now that her children are adults. She is still the entitled git that can complain about the lack of money, the unfairness with benefits and other stuff, but still refuses to get a proper job and insists on doing her shopping in Waitrose. She complains about not being able to get the kind of job she wants, but if you try to offer her a job, she always says that she is too busy, it's not convenient, or she doesn't like it. She sits at home all day long, but won't pick up or return calls. Suddenly, out of the blue, as usual, she contacted me last week and asked to meet for a coffee. I said yes. She texted me earlier to say that her car has not passed the MOT last week and she has no money to sort out the car, so she has no way to get to Waitrose to get food for the week, that she's terrified to be found at home without food as low temperatures are expected and she's afraid it may snow. She says I should pick her up from her house, drive her to Waitrose and we should have a coffee at the Waitrose cafe before I return her to her home. She doesn't even live near me. I said I'm too busy. I am, I've clocked 50 hours this week and it's not even Friday, and suggested she order from a supermarket online. She has replied saying that's too expensive for her to have food delivered as she only needs a few fresh vegetables. So can I take her to Waitrose, please? I guess I just need a rant. I'm not replying to her messages anymore. How can people be so bloody entitled?
Jesus. This is a very middle class problem.
Oh, massively.
Yeah. It's also just the little red hen. This is just the story of the little red hen.
Is it?
Yeah, this woman's the little red hen and her friend you know, didn't work during the bad times and now wants some of her bread that the little red hen made.
Politically, what's the point of the little red hen? Because I don't get... The story of the little red hen seems to me, oh, you should always do loads of stuff so that you can support people when they need help, but don't expect anything back.
Yeah, sort of, depending on how you read it, it's either right libertarian or kind of socialist communist. Because it's either... You're either reading it against the little red hen, who's a grabby capitalist, who's baked all the bread and won't share it, or the little red hen has earned that bread by being lucky and having the ingredients to bake bread.
The thing is, I am one of the most left-wing people I've ever encountered, but I think that asking the little red hen to look after all these feckless idiots is a bit unfair.
Yeah, the point is that the state should be looking after these people.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the little red hen got to do with it? It should be the little red state.
I see.
And the little red state gave out bread and everyone had some bread. Back to this woman. Right, so it seems that this is all a lot of background to basically say that her friend has said, will you drive me to Waitrose? I need to buy vegetables. If you don't drive me to Waitrose, what if I'm found alone in my house and it snows and I die because I haven't been to Waitrose to buy some vegetables?
It's a bit dramatic.
That seems to be the gist here, right?
Yeah. So she thinks her friend is a feckless idiot who should have been working instead of just getting tax credits.
Yeah.
And now the friend can't afford to go to Waitrose.
Yeah.
So she wants a lift.
And the friend is concerned about being found without having had any food, but then later admits that she doesn't need enough food to justify an online shop, because she's got everything else. Just veg.
Yeah. No
is
one...
she worried that she'll be found with scurvy?
That's a very middle class thing, in that no one actually needs anything here. These aren't needs. You just want. You want some vegetables, you want to go to Waitrose. You don't want to give your friend a lift.
Yeah. So... I don't know, I think the poster is not being unreasonable to abandon her friend here.
I think if your friend says, do you want to get coffee? Let's meet at Waitrose and give me a lift. That's fine, just do that.
Yeah, but if she doesn't want to, that's also fine. I don't think it's unfair for her to say, I don't really want to drive to your house, drive you to Waitrose, drive you back to your house, then drive back to my house when I've been working hard all week and you're just going to say that my job is shit.
If only there were any other supermarkets. Unfortunately, Waitrose bought them all last week.
It's true. Yeah, so I don't think that it's unreasonable for her to abandon her friend. I think it's incredibly unreasonable for the poster to say that this is her friend's deepest hour of need.
Yeah.
What, because the car didn't pass the MOT and she hasn't got any broccoli? That's her deepest hour of need. Like, forget about it.
In the first paragraph, she went for a divorce while she still had young children and became a single parent.
Yeah, and then she lost her... career in academia as a result of being a single parent. Her hour of greatest need is that men have fucked her over time and time again, and now it's all about the broccoli.
It's the tale of the modern woman.
It is. Should we see what the thread says? The thread says, tell her to get the bus. Or walk.
It's a long way to walk, though, to Waitrose.
Someone says, get a bus to Lidl. Buy veg. Get a bus home. Don't buy expensive coffees. Or were you supposed to buy her that as well as being a free taxi service? Now, if you've been a stay-at-home parent and your children have moved out and you're a single parent and you're not working, I imagine you might be quite isolated. And I don't think that buying an expensive coffee, if that is your social interaction that prevents you from becoming isolated and keeps you sane, I don't think there's a bad thing. And also, if she goes to Waitrose all the time, she'll have a Waitrose card and she can get a free coffee. This is just my... long-running vendetta against people who think that no one should have nice things ever.
Yeah, if you buy coffees, I hear you can never afford a house.
And you deserve everything that ever happens to you. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Because I got mad about the coffee lady. Okay. Am I being unreasonable to think children shouldn't be allowed in late showings at the cinema? I went to see The Greatest Showman tonight at an 8:30 showing. This one's secretly about The Greatest Showman. It's not.
Hugh Jackman. Back again. Back at it again.
Back at it, trying to find ways to keep himself relevant, so he's fabricated an issue with kids.
Hey, no. Hugh Jackman's very relevant.
Relevant to the boards on Mumsnet.
He's very relevant to the boards on Mumsnet.
Because he's every poster. Am I being unreasonable to think children shouldn't be allowed in late showings at the cinema? I went to see The Greatest Showman tonight at an 8:30pm showing. Just as Jenny Lind was about to sing Never Enough, which for anyone who has seen will know is just one of those jaw-dropping moments that leaves you in awe, covered in goosebumps, for many at least.
We can't keep doing this stealth marketing for when two... a great show. They're not paying us.
When two young children started playing up and arguing, and not quietly. This was my third time seeing it, but I felt so irritated for those who hadn't. It ruined the atmosphere of the moment. I'm sure I'll get a fair amount of bashing for this, but I really feel like night showings should be child-free. I know some may say that parents must have really wanted to see it and perhaps couldn't afford a babysitter, but why not go on a weekend? And if it was the children who really wanted to see it, I can't quite believe that no other times would have suited them.
Jeez. We can't decide if we want children to have access to everything, every library book, every cinema showing, or if we want to restrict them. No cinema showings, no library books.
I mean, maybe these kids did need to go to the late showing because they were reading every book at the library as a reference book because they can't take it out. So yeah. They had to stay at the library till it closed at 8, leafing through the Kama Sutra.
Busy days. Busy days of looking at art pictures of dicks and then going to see The Greatest Showman.
These kids seem awfully grown up. What do you think, though? Kids in evening showings? I don't think I see enough films that kids want to see for it to be an issue. When we saw the last Star Wars film, there were some kids there, but not many kids there. And it's a film for kids, really.
There were no kids when I went to see The Shape of Water, and that's got explicit discussion of monster dick.
Yeah, so, you know, partly I think it depends on what you're seeing, doesn't it? But I don't object to kids being there. If kids are there and they're not behaving, remove them. You know, if you're at the cinema with your kids and they start screaming at each other, maybe take your kids outside and say, if you behave yourself for all of this, I'll get a book out the library for you on my card.
But what if you really want to see The Greatest Showman and you don't want to miss a second of this cinematic triumph featuring Hugh Jackman as P.T. Barnum?
I think a blanket ban on kids at evening showings is a bit silly. And I'm not someone who's overly keen on sharing space with children.
You have mother and baby showings.
Yeah, but they only work if you're there with a baby. You're not supposed to take like a 12-year-old to those. And
no,
they're in the middle
of
the working day.
Conversely, you could have adult-only showings.
Yeah, you could. Well, I don't think that'd be a bad thing. I think just because this seems like a bit of a reach.
I think it's the responsibility of the cinema to like enforce good conduct in the cinema. Like the usher.
Yeah.
Should have done something.
People don't like it when other people tell their kids off. It's difficult. I think people should just ensure that their children behave themselves in the cinema, says one poster. I agree.
Easy. Great. Thanks. Just get my kids... Oh, I didn't realise. I just needed to get my kids to behave. Oh, silly me. Because I hopped up on sugar and the glorious spectacle of Hugh Jackman.
There's a lot of unnecessary talk of what people deserve again. I don't see why the time of day makes any difference. People who go to see things at 2:30 are no more or less deserving of a good experience than people who go at 8:30.
Well, no.
So that's nonsense.
I suppose we have to define when a late showing is, if we get into this.
I do think 8:30. I would not want to go to the cinema at 8:30, because the film wouldn't start till 9. You wouldn't be out of there until gone 11.
12, if it's one of these 3-hour films.
Yeah, by which
nowadays.
Point my concentration would have started to wane, and I wouldn't get the best experience out of it. I would rather go to a screening at, like, 6:30.
Yeah.
When I'm bringing my A game. Got my full attention, not missing a single moment of Hugh Jackman's stunning performance.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave this one with this one last comment.
Okay.
Oh my god, I'd have been livid if someone ruined Never Enough. That moment deserves complete and utter silence. It's just beautiful. Just that. Just another person who loves The Greatest Showman.
Why has everyone on this forum seen The Greatest Showman?
So many times.
Yeah, 3 times. And looking at your screen, they've written 3rd time with a strike through it. What does that mean?
Oh, people put a strike through when they're trying to be cutesy because they know that something's a bit silly and embarrassing. Oh, look at me. But if you actually take the strike through bit out, the sentence doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it says, this was my seeing it.
Yeah. Garbage. Garbage.
Unreasonable.
Very. Okay, one more speed round and then let's call it a day. Am I being unreasonable to wear a dress and heels for a date in my own home?
No.
Am I being unreasonable? 3-child party?
Yeah, take him to the cinema instead. Late showing.
Am I being unreasonable? 9-year-old said, Mama!
Okay. That's a little old. If it's the first word.
It's a speed round. Are they being unreasonable or not?
Yes.
Am I being unreasonable? University strikes 61 universities.
It depends what they're saying.
The most recent post on this is from Closet Librarian, so let's have a look at that after we've done this to see if it's someone you know.
It's me.
Am I being unreasonable to ask how mums that users can be so stupid about trans women?
No.
Am I being...
This is something we don't really get into, but there's an awful lot of transphobia that Hells goes through to find these jovial questions for the podcast.
Yeah, a lot of them have creepy thread titles where you don't realise they're like, oh, the greatest showman, then you open it and it's like, here's a picture of Danielle Moscato, and you're like, who, what, I don't understand, and then they get all angry and then they shout at, oh, it's nasty. Let's end on this last one. Am I being unreasonable to ask for recommendations for gluten-free lasagna sheets that aren't complete bastards?
Those bastard lasagna sheets.
Bastards.
No, you don't want bastards in your lasagna.
Good. That's the end of that. Join us next week for more nonsense.
Yeah, more of this.
More of the greatest showman.
We need to put a stop to the greatest showman stuff.
Never enough!
I don't know what that means.
It's the name of a song. It's jaw-dropping.
Go see the greatest showman. We'll see you next week. Follow us on Twitter, Why You Be Unreasonable.
Yep.
Follow us on SoundCloud. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Player FM.
Thanks. Bye.
I'll see you next week. Bye. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now. Right now.